welcome to this special roundtable edition of Coffee and Uchiokeke. I'm Salma Uchiokeke with Chuma Uchiokeke, your hosts today, and it's our pleasure to introduce two emerging artists, Jade Ayaya and Kyra Uchiokeke, who will join us to explore meaningful insights into their creative journeys. Jade Ayaya is a 19-year-old aspiring concept artist studying comic and concept art at Leeds Arts University. Her passion lies in creating characters, backgrounds, and props, drawing inspiration from such artists as Alberto Milgo and Jessica Rosier, while also finding inspiration in Professor Uchiokeke's distinctive abstract use of color. Kyra Uchiokeke, on the other hand, is a granddaughter of Professor Uchiokeke and is currently a sophomore studying architecture at Texas Tech University. Growing up surrounded by her grandfather's artistic legacy, Kyra integrates her interests in visual arts and writing, continually examining how her grandfather's work influences her studies and creative development. We are thrilled to discuss the profound and lasting impact of Professor Uchiokeke's legacy, especially how it resonates with the next generation of artists. Hello, Jada. Hello, Kyra. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hello, Jada and Kyra. Welcome to our podcast.
You know, Chuma, I was thinking what a coincidence it is that both Jada and are actually birthday mates. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did. It's a real interesting coincidence. Birthday mates exactly 1 year apart. Really interesting.
Really, really interesting. And Jada and Kyra, you guys have gotten a little bit acquainted in this process, haven't you?
We spoke online over text a few days ago, and we actually exchanged Instagram handles, and we both sketch. She does more of digital art. I do more of like portraits and sketchbooks, but we are both artists, and we are actually both like the same. We both like the same Spider-Man movie, which was very fun to find out.
So we just dive straight into it and get straight to the questions. So, Jada, what initially sparked your interest in art? And specifically, what kind of art are you most drawn to?
I don't think there was anything specific that sparked my interest in art. I think I always just like had like an interest in it and would always just sketch things here and there. And then when the pandemic hit in 2020, that's when I had like time to explore how I felt about art and how I wanted to take it further as like a career and something I wanted to do in university. Concept art specifically. Concept art is basically designing the assets that go into shows and movies and like comics and stuff, like designing characters, environments, props, things like that.
That's quite interesting.
Similar to what Jada said, I actually can't remember a specific event that sparked my interest in art. I've been drawing, you know, coloring using crayons for like my entire life. It feels like maybe since I was two, since I could hold a pencil or a crayon. And I think I want to say that people started to tell me that, you know, I have some sort of inclination for art when I was just entering secondary school and people were seeing my art. I would be sketching somewhere and someone would be like, "Oh, wow, this is so nice. Like, wow, you can really draw." I was like, oh, seriously, like, I did not know that. So I was all like, okay, I guess if this is something I'm good at, I should probably start taking it more seriously. And eventually I found myself in this field, architecture, from my love for technical drawing. Because I was a science student before I entered the college. So I just kind of felt like architecture is basically the perfect combination of science and arts. Yeah.
Even though you're not currently based in Nigeria, Professor Uchiokeke emphasized the importance of cultural identity, the influence of where you can play your own ancestral culture, you know, on your identity. So how do you think this cultural identity influences the kind of art or, you know, or the direction of your career going forward?
As a young artist, growing up in Lagos, like as an Igbo person too, growing up around other, you know, ethnicities, not just Igbo, like Yoruba, Hausa, Edo, and so on. And then going on to go to school in a university abroad where there's even an even wider range of people from different cultures. I think I just recently became very, very interested in learning more about Igbo art and Uli and, you know, Nigerian modern art and, you know, what's my grandfather, his specialty, essentially. And I think it's really important to for a group of people, like Igbo people or any other ethnicity, to have their own type or their own art style, just influenced by maybe socioeconomic factors. And it definitely it shows personality, and there's differences between every ethnicity. And for me, I want that to show in my architecture, in my work in the future, when I hopefully become a successful architect. I want to be able to show that my culture has affected or influenced my work. Igbo art is very beautiful, so I definitely want to show that I am Igbo.
Some kind of similar to what Kara said, I want my culture to show in my work as well, because I'm also Igbo and I'm like part Igbo also, and I want to bring that into my work, and I want to bring it to more public eye in a sense, like, because concept art is like designing assets and stuff, so I want to like design characters that show Nigerian culture in the public eye to give more representation to that, to our culture.
Jada, do you feel that showing your cultural heritage, I didn't even know you were Igbo in the first place, but you know, it's not peculiar to being an Igbo person. It's whatever your culture is, you know, do you want to bring it to bear? Because I think that is how you create a kind of uniqueness in your art, and how you bring something extra to the table, you know? Is that how you see it?
Bringing your culture into it brings like a certain uniqueness into it, because everyone, it's a shared thing, but everyone has their own like relationship to their culture. So you'll definitely like notice your art in a unique way.
Dad used to point out some of the similarities to me, you know, with the form of writing, actually. Those things have meaning. There's another form of Igbo writing, this is pre-colonial. Called the CPD. And the funny thing is that if you notice those designs on most of these buildings in the north, you know, the designs, not the Arabic ones, they have other designs. They are lying, right? There's a lot of similarity between Uli and those patterns. And those things have meanings also. So it's really interesting to note that in Nigeria, we had pre-colonial forms of script, which are just being exposed now. So I think there's a lot of room for research and all that in that direction.
We all know that Uchokeke's career highlighted dedication to research, teaching, and exploring cultural identity through art. Glad that you both are beginning to be interested in exploring cultural identity through art. But it will be interesting to find out as you progress as young people and you consider a future in the art world, which of these aspects resonates most with you? Is it the research, the teaching, or the exploration of cultural identity through art? And why?
For me, the research and exploration of cultural identity through art are most interesting to me. Somebody like Uchokeke, my grandfather, he had to, you know, research from previous art forms, and he was also, you know, kind of inspired by that to form his own creative, unique art style through that. And he explored his own relationship with Igbo culture and, you know, through his arts and the Uli. What popularized it?
Yes. Is that why those two resonate with you?
To see someone who is a famous artist in textbooks, and he has art galleries, and he has his own Wikipedia page. He was also once, because to research something, you had to have not known much about it before you started your research. And I think it's very inspiring to me to see.
As you progress in your creative journey, do you think that it will make a difference in the kind of art or architecture that you create in the future?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I mean, researching for any form of art, when you put research into your art, it has now added new layers of complexity to the art. And it's not just surface level about beauty. your art now has, you know,
deeper meaning. Yeah.
Or said deeper meaning.
Yeah, so
it's just very beautiful to see. And I hope to also have that level of intricacy in my own art one day.
So you do agree that the research, you know, and the exploration of cultural identity are things that make the art that is created a little bit more meaningful.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. Yeah. Jada, what do you think about this, you know, as you explore your future, as you evolve?
I find it interesting to look back on works that have been created years and years ago and things that artists have done, like way before I was born, and for me to look at it and interpret it in a way that I understand it.
Actually, in the kind of art you create, you really must do some research. You really must dig backwards, you know, and then interpret it in your own new way.
You know, considering the advancements in technology and, you know, the use of social media, intelligence at all, how do you young ladies see AI generated art, NFTs, and generate art, and how do you envision yourself getting involved in all that? Like, for example, Kyra is doing architecture and industrial design, and there's already a lot of computer-aided design, and then Jada, you're into conceptual art. How do you young ladies intend to utilize all that technology, and how much influence do you think it has at all?
Personally, I don't think, for AI specifically, I don't think AI has a place in the art world, because I think art is a very human thing, and I think it needs someone behind it to create it. And I think when art is produced using artificial intelligence, it doesn't have that same...
It is no longer creative, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, this argument is coming up in all genres of art, writing and all that. I was listening the other day. We went for the Chimamanda book launch, and you know, and somebody brought that kind of question, and she said, no, she doesn't use AI to write. You know, for instance, I was listening to somebody on TV, a writer also on CNN, and he also brought that. You know, they had made some bots that you know from you know his books. And it was like stealing his concept, because, you know, they feed it into the box and then those ones create stuff, you know, it's just mechanical and doesn't have that creativity. And he was taking it up, you know. So I quite understand what you're saying, Jada, that yeah. But wouldn't you do any kind of AI generated art at all? You wouldn't do NFTs, you know, at all?
No, I don't think I would.
All right. That's interesting for someone of your age as well.
I agree with Jada to some extent. There's actually it's a fact that artificial like generative AI is not in any way, shape or form creative. It's just a combination of all the stuff that humans feed the AI, which is art from other people. But there's definitely AI could be used for the more menial tasks. So if you're trying to research for art, or the thing is that would be more hectic for you to do just in the background. You can't use AI to do the art itself. Or maybe if you're writing a book and you are looking for a specific background history on a specific town or something, I think AI is useful for that. But not to give the AI to write the entire book for you. That is, I mean, there has to be some form of plagiarism. Like, that's just, I don't think that's okay. And it's also like becoming a problem, because now people our age in school, they're very lazy. They've become lazy now because they have this tool, this AI tool that helps them, just defeats the purpose of all individual thinking or like original thought. And it's a real problem. Like, people use AI to do literally everything. Like, some people don't even know what to make themselves for breakfast in the morning, and they ask AI to give them ideas. But AI has a purpose, especially in architecture, where you're trying to maybe figure out what, and you would already know these things. I don't think architecture really requires AI, but AI could also be a good place to get ideas or inspiration from, maybe color palettes, something like that. Just not to give the AI to do all the work. It just doesn't make sense to me.
So what you're saying is that you would use AI to a certain extent You would use AI for your research. You would use AI, you know, for some parts of your modeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
that's how AI was meant to be used. That's how AI was.
It's meant to be an aid, but the creativity itself has to come from the human. And so, I it's quite interesting that you two young people are thinking that there's no creativity without the human being right behind it, because you know the AI is really what you feed into it that it has. It can't generate anything on its own.
Yeah. I definitely agree that it should be used for like menial tasks and stuff, but probably when it's developed a little bit more, because I think I know there have been many instances of AI feeding like wrong information and like,
oh yeah, that's true.
Things like that.
Okay.
I think probably like down the line, I think it could be used in a menial way, but just for now, it's not.
It's probably okay for when you want to write something, you know, just the small something. You can use the AI to organize.
When AI feeds you incorrect answers, there's really no one to blame but yourself for, you know, depending entirely on the credibility of artificial intelligence. Like if you're giving the wrong information, or even there's an issue with like who do you, if someone is using AI to create art and selling it, and you know the AI accidentally creates something that's very similar to what a human created, like who do you blame for that? It's not like the humans that created the AI were aware of, you know, that it would create maybe accidentally plagiarized.
The NFTs, for instance, you guys do know about art that is produced that way, or what do you think about it? Because they've had
NFTs. I'm going to say that NFTs are not really popular with bad reputation, you know, because around the cryptocurrency, NFTs are not really art. They're just a form of cryptocurrency. So they kind of have a weird reputation with our generation. Or from what I've seen, people don't really trust that, you know, that you buy an NFT for 15 million. It's basically like gambling. So, you know.
I think AI is definitely like more of a thing with our generation than NFTs.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So when you think, when you both think of you know, an art-related career, what specific roles or industries come to mind for you?
At first, I wanted to be an artist, like, you know, paint on canvas type of artist. And then I got into architecture. I didn't really see myself pivoting to do anything else, like, majorly. But on the side, I definitely have other endeavors I wish to pursue, like my writing. I hope to continue with that. And I mean, I was even thinking at one point, but I don't think that would be a big, you know, part of my career. But I just to say that, you know, I have a lot of artistic passions that I want to, you know,
explore
in the future.
Of course, you're still growing, you're still evolving, you're just 18.
Yeah.
You know, the whole world is right there in front of you.
At one point, I also wanted to do, like, just fine art, like, just painting. But then I discovered concept art. So I said to pursue that in university, and that's something I want to go on to do as a career, like, enter the industry and, like, hopefully make, like, characters and stuff for games and shows and stuff. Since I've been drawing, I've always been more inclined to draw, like, to draw people and stuff rather than make paintings. I think when I found out about concept art, it was just something that just clicked, that I just realized, like, this is what I was basically trying to do for that.
So now, as you go now, I know it's too early now for you to have found a particular style or identity. I know you're still experimenting, searching, and all that. But how do you feel your style will evolve? Which direction do you think your style is going, and especially considering the great popularity of Nigerian music, Nigerian fashion? Do you see yourself developing, you know, a Niger style? You know, how do you see that coming along?
Right now, I'm focusing on more linear improvement, like just being objectively better at all my crafts. But I'm really interested in sort of vintage architecture from the 70s, especially, and in Nigeria, especially. It's very retro, it's very spacious, and they use a lot of forms that, you know, they don't use anymore because people are so, you know, focused on something looking futuristic or more modern these days. And when you look at the retro buildings or vintage buildings from the 70s, you can see that, you know, they sort of prioritized not necessarily looking futuristic, but more or less looking like this, the place is lived in or it has personality. So I really like that.
Architecture from that time, when you talk about livability, is it like customized to the environment so that it is more adapted to our environment? Yes.
That's what I feel like architecture is should be tailored to.
So this tailoring,
yes.
Does it have to do with things like materials apart from, you know, the special designs and all that? Does it also have to do with materials?
Yes, not just the designs, also materials, you know, breathability of the house, your environments, maybe the weather conditions of that area, and just to ensure that the people inside the house are, you know, they have maximum comfort and they feel like this is their home.
For me, I think for now, I'm just trying to get the technical skill down before I try to establish my own style.
I did go through your Instagram handle. I did notice a few things that I would say, this is Jada, but you're still developing it. You haven't really put your mind to it. But there's some things that are like your signature notes on the works you make. Did you notice that so far?
Yeah, I think there's things that I think as I develop my technical skill, like anatomy and all that, there's like certain parts I'll start to draw in a way that in my own style, I guess. But I think as a whole, like I haven't developed
that particular style. Yeah. Like, so how are you developing your technical skill?
Just by studying anatomy, studying works of artists that I find inspiring.
Interesting. Beyond creating art, what other skills do you think are essential for a successful career in the art world?
Being able to network with people and being able to share your art in a way that will gain attention and being able to be unique with your work as well.
And those are the extra things that you need to have, you know, beyond creating the art.
Networking is very important. Networking is actually the skill that I'm trying to improve on right now in my college years, because I'm starting to realize just how important it really is to be able to make connections with, you know, important people. And marketing yourself, although marketing yourself has become a lot easier with the rise of social media, and can just post a TikTok and the algorithm will push it for free and then have a wider audience.
So definitely artists, they've always had to sell themselves. I hope you know, I mean, when you do exhibitions, when you do talk shows, all those things that I've done are part of promoting the artist. It has always been like that. It's always been about building networks, but now you have technology to help you build faster and build more globally.
Yeah.
So those are real skills that an artist needs. You can't just stay in a hole and producing art and you're just there. Nobody would know that you're even doing it. I think we're all agreed on that. Eh?
Yeah.
So if you could fast forward to 10 to 15 years, are you even able to do that? Or what would your ideal art-related career look like?
I definitely hope to be an architect. I am not sure if it would be better for me to work at a firm or just kind of be my own, like, freelancer of sorts. Mm. And I hope to have at least published a few books, maybe two or three. And, you know, painting, drawing, whatever, really. But architecture is definitely, I hope to be a successful architect.
Hopefully, I want to be working at a concept art studio and helping design characters for TV shows or games.
And that would have to be outside Nigeria, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not even, are you thinking of at some point developing concept art in Nigeria as well? Because I'm not sure how well it is known, that kind of art here in Nigeria for now.
I think it would definitely be more difficult to do in Nigeria, which is why it would be something I'll do abroad, because I don't think there's really a market yet.
For now. But in the next 10 to 15 years, I mean, with Nollywood in place and all that.
Yeah, if there's a market for it there in 10 to 15 years, then I'll want to create something.
Okay. So we'll see. That's really good. So for a final question, I'd like to invite you both to picture a moment, single scene captured as a lasting artwork. displayed publicly as a permanent representation of your personal vision and values. In this scene, join a cup of coffee. Can you describe the setting in detail and tell us who is sharing this meaningful space with you, embodying your own unique expression and perspective on life?
I guess this would be set in my ideal setting, thinking of a cafe in Japan, because I've always been so interested in Japanese architecture and the centuries of history behind it. And I would actually be alone, just because I think in my ideal, you know, peaceful setting, I would be alone.
Definitely. So if it was to be like a work of art, there will be that Japanese setting for you, and you'll be alone, sipping your cup of coffee. Would you be doing any work? Would you be listening to music?
Yeah, I would be listening to music.
What kind of music would that be?
Oh, honestly, probably jazz, maybe smooth jazz.
In the Japanese thing?
I'll just be looking out at the city, not really doing anything.
Yeah, and that would be a permanent representation, if it is displayed publicly, of your personal vision and values, right?
Yeah, okay with that.
Yeah. So Jada, can we have yours?
I would also be in a cafe, but I don't.
Why would you choose a cafe?
I don't know. You said coffee. Having coffees. I just made me pictured coffee.
Oh, people have coffee in different places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you choose a cafe?
It seems because if I was in a cafe, I think I would be like, maybe like sketching in my sketchbook or something. And it feels like a peaceful place to sketch in. And there's like, you know, movement and stuff. Maybe I'd like be sat by like a window or something. Like people watching on. Yeah.
Would you be alone at your own table? Or would you have guests?
Yeah, I think I'd be alone by myself.
So you guys are mostly known as, and then you will be... Are you comfortable?
I get like hot chocolate, maybe.
Before we go, I just wanted to ask a question that I would have wanted to ask my grandpa if he were here. The question is, as a creative individual with multiple passions, I find that being good at several things has its pros and cons. I'm struggling with the revelation that to master a craft, you have to make it your entire world. But there are so many skills I wish to hone, and seemingly not enough time. How does one figure out where to channel his or her energy and overcome this jack-of-all-trades dilemma?
Very, very good question.
The thing is that if you sit back and look at those things you're trying to master, there might be a common thread through most of those things. So like in your case now, you also want to be an architect. You want to design things that will go into the houses that you built. You want to draw pictures, you want to make paintings, you want to write books and poems. The funny thing is that all these things have a common thread, and that is, you know, creativity, the making of something from nothing. So these things are not as different like themselves as you might think. Back in the day before, you know, as humanity goes, we keep breaking things into different specialties. Back in the day of Leonardo da Vinci and all that, all these things you just mentioned were one sort of, they had a broken off architecture, broken off poetry, and broken off literary, right? Everything was one thing. So one artist do all these things. Someone like you, that everything. He did everything. So it's okay. So what you need to do, just focus on your creative process. How do you come up with ideas? How do you actualize them? How do you refine them? You find out this thing skill set for all these. So I don't think there's a problem there. You're not trying to be a medical doctor and at the same time trying to be an engineer. You know, that's a different thing. All these things you mentioned have that common thread of creativity. So I think you might very well find out that you can achieve all of that.
How relevant this question is you know, I'm sure both of you do not know how multifaceted Uchokeke was. He did a lot of things in the creative sector. You know, he was an educationist. He was a painter. He did some works in different mediums, you know, multimedia kind of artist. You know, even though painting was his core, he was involved in driving a vision, you know, an idea that they picked together, and was involved in research. He was in the arts itself. He was involved in drama. He was involved in, I should call it theater. He was involved in writing. He was involved in creating the visual arts, you know, so much that he did, one man.
Design of building, landscaping, and all.
If you know his friend, Dimas Mok, his friend and contemporary, it was art he studied, but he veered up into architecture. I mean, anybody that is studying architecture that wants to know about how Nigerian architecture comes to bear on traditional architecture comes to bear on modern architectural designs, you have to go to Dimas Mok. It's like a activity. It's like a fountain that has so many, you know, branches to it. It will be really difficult for somebody to be just interested in one thing, you know. You have to have a full life. And at this stage, when you're both starting, there's so much ahead. You're still evolving. There's so much in life that you would pick up interest in. But you will also find, as you go on, you will know which ones become more relevant for you to go on with. You'll know which ones you actually even have the skills to continue with, you know, apart from the interest. But sometimes you have an interest in something, but you may not really be able to do justice to that particular thing. So at this time, we'll just say embrace everything you can. And like Chuma has said, they're all linked up together anyway. And it's an interesting time for you at this age, because your whole life is in front of you. And it's really exciting because there's so much happening. There's the past and there's the future, you know, and there's a whole lot in between. I hope that has explained something to both of you.
Yes, thank you so much.
So we want to say thank you so much to both of you for making our time, you know, taking time off your busy schedule to be here to lend your voices to our discourse. I mean, these are young voices, but, you know, they do make an important difference to what we keep doing. Thank you for spending this time with us, dear listener. Be sure to check out other episodes available on our website, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Stay connected for more inspiring conversations here on Coffee and Uchiokeke.